to Deuteronomy chapter number 15. Deuteronomy chapter number 15. Deuteronomy is the repeat of the law, the second law. It's literally means deuta, two or second. Deuteronomy, the law. Deuteronomy, the repeat of the law. And God's repeating things to the nation of Israel through Moses, the great lawgiver. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, and we're going to look at a story that I think is a very intriguing story. And again, something that is unusual, but we can make some great applications to our lives today. Deuteronomy chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 12. We're going to read a number of verses tonight, like we normally do on Sunday morning. But we love the Bible. We can't get enough of the Bible. We love to read. We could read a whole chapter and just enjoy every minute of it, right? Yeah, we shouldn't be that way. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, how can your brother be a Hebrew woman?
No.
She had a beard. Is that so weird? A kinsman. The word brother, a brother, a sister, or not necessarily your brother or sister, or the same mother and father, but one of the Jewish nation, a Hebrew, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years. Then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, because he is well with thee. And when thou shalt take an awl, and thrust it through his ear into the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant, and thou shalt do likewise. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a whole hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God tonight. I pray that you would help us to learn something that will be a help to us, an encouragement to us, to walk closer to you this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are we on here, Jeff? I'm going to move that. Okay. I can't turn my head far enough to see that little button on the side there. There's some things about the Hebrew culture that we don't, well, a lot of things about any culture that we don't really get. Nathan and Tina and any of our missionaries that goes to a foreign country, and Joel spent some time overseas now, and you probably ran into some customs and things that are a bit unusual. And if you're there for a short time, you can put up with it. But if you're going to be there for long term, it's kind of like, okay, we're going to have to adjust our way of thinking. Some of the things about the Jewish customs or their culture that we may not fully comprehend or understand. We understand some things about the Sabbath day. What day of the week is the Sabbath day? Saturday is the Sabbath day, the day of rest, the day of worship of the Lord, the day set aside to worship and serve Him. And that day is not necessarily sit around and do nothing that we think of rest, but it's a change of pace. And some men worked much harder on that Sabbath day than they did other days of the week. But there was also not only a Sabbath day, but a Sabbath year. What year was that? Every seventh year was a Sabbath year. And that's why in what we read here, you see, for 6 years, a contract will last for 6 years. And at the seventh year, in fact, you'll find some laws concerning that seventh year. that when you hire someone to be a servant for 6 years, will you take into consideration such and such a year? Maybe it's only 3 years away as a Sabbath year, and they're going to go free that year, so that 6 years is going to be shortened to 3 years. So every seventh year, everything, the land was laid to rest. They weren't to plant any crops. They weren't to. Everything was different that year. All debts were wiped out. And then there was another special year every 50 years. What was that called? Does anybody know? The year of Jubilee. Jubilee, Jubilee. Oh, never mind. No, I can sing that song. The year of Jubilee. And that, again, was a special Sabbath, the 50th year. Every 50 years was a year of Jubilee. And again, when contracts were made, everything was taken into consideration. Well, in 50 years, all their debts are going to, boy, that'd be a good time to rack up a bunch of debt, right? And the 49th year, I'm going to max my credit cards out. I'm going to take out, no, they take all that into consideration. Now, next year, it's all going to be wiped out. So we're only going to loan you this much or do this, whatever. And some other strange customs. And those are some that are we think of in this passage. And how many ladies have a ring on your finger tonight? Anybody have 25 rings in their? No. How many men have a ring on their finger? That ring means something, especially in a man. A lady might have another ring other than that. I don't think anybody here does. I've got one ring on my finger. It's still there, partially because I can't get it off. My finger's kind of growing around it. I think I would have to be in a deep freeze for a week before I could even loosen that thing up or start hacksawing some of these calluses off that have grown around it. Partially because that ring has a purpose. What's that ring tell you about me? Tells my wife is one lucky lady. All right. It's slavery, we go all out for these rings. Mine happens to be, you'd never recognize the same one we got when we got married. It's been smashed a couple of times, and I just kind of smash it. That's partially, I got to turn it just the right way so it fits around my knuckle because it's been smashed so many times. It's not round anymore. Hers had to be cut off actually when she broke her wrist, and we go all out, and I think she's got a $20 special one right now. Some people are very sentimental. And other rings were very important in Bible times, not only for, we think of a ring today, it signifies a wedding, but it was a stamp. The king would have a stamp on his ring when he put, it's like putting a signature. He'll put some wet wax and a seal and stamp it with his ring, and that made a design or picture or initials or something that was distinct that identified this comes under the authority of the king. But that ring signifies something, that identifies something. How many of you ladies have earrings in your ears? Nobody had nose rings here tonight, do they? I know some people get all hung up. What? Oh, wicked! Any guys have an earring? By the way, in Bible times, men wore earrings. You say, what? Wicked! They're sodomites, aren't they? That earring says something about you. In a Judeo-Christian culture, still today, now we've come far from that in our culture today, there's a reason why in our culture that traditionally, you know, it's not too long. When I was a young person, men didn't wear earrings, but now they do, and a lot of it has to do with our culture. But what does an earring signify? A slave? Do you have an earring? Is she your little slave at home? That means you're under subjection to some. And that's why traditionally it's okay for ladies to wear earrings because they're under subjection to their parents and then to their husband. And that's something that a earring signifies. Now, I'm not talking preaching specifically on earring, but is it wrong for a man to wear it in? We'll say, well, bless God, that's the way I grew up, and men shouldn't wear earrings and all this. Well, it identifies you. It's a mark of identification. In verse number 15, he points out the fact, and by the way, when the Israelites left Egypt, remember where they got the gold to make the golden calf? They took the earrings off. Why did they have earrings? Because they're a bunch of sodomites? Because they were slaves in Egypt. An earring was a signification. It was a picture, it was identification. When you see a man or a woman with a wedding band on, a certain finger, that signifies, it tells you something about them. And you see someone with an earring in, that says that they're a subject or a servant or under submission to someone. In verse number 15, it said, remember when you were a bondman in Egypt and you had this earring. Now, we're given something that I think is very interesting. An Old Testament principle, and we're going to carry it over to the New Testament. Now, I need a volunteer tonight. looking around. Miles is right up front and he's saying, don't pick me. Don't pick me. So, Miles, come on up here. You said that too loud, all right? Miles is going to be my servant. He'd make a good servant, wouldn't he? No. I got a whip that will make him a good servant. This might be good. This, Mom and Dad, a chair and a whip and a club. We'll take care of this guy. He's going to serve me for 6 years. That's a long... How old are you, Miles?
14.
In 6 years, you're going to be how old?
20.
You're pretty good at math, aren't you? I got to think about it. I need a piece of paper to figure that out. 20 years. 20 years. Oh, you'll probably have a wife and a couple of kids by then, won't you? We shoot for 30. In 6 years, he's going to serve me. At the end of 6 years, you're free to leave on the seventh year. But say in that 6 years, you realize, you know, this has been pretty good serving Pastor Fritz. He's not too hard. You don't know me very well. He fed me well. He took care of me. I had everything that I need. And besides, I maybe got my eye on a lady servant that he has in his house. I'm not so sure that I want to leave. He decides, well, I'm going to stick around. It's your choice. Now, you've been a good servant, I think. I've prospered under your services. So if you will leave at the seventh year, I will figure out the amount of money, the increase that I've made while you were here. And a lot of it would be due because of your service. And I will give you a cut of that, a percentage of that, and turn you loose. But if you decide you want to stay, would you like to stay? Oh, yeah, you would. Because remember, if you go home, you got to go home to Mom and Dad. Huh? No.
College.
And your sisters. You go to college. No. I'm going to go. If you decide, I'm going to stay. So come on over here. You decided that you want to stay, right? We're going to enjoy this. So now if you stay, you understand this is for a lifetime. There's no backing out of this. The next 7 years, you don't have another choice. This is a permanent thing. And because you've chosen to stay, I've got an awl. You know what an awl is? I actually used this week. I think I stuck it in some grease or something, but it's sterile. There, it's sterile. It'll work. And I want you to stand against the doorpost here with your ear against the door. That's good when you got a big ear, all right? And we're going to flap that ear out. Oh, and I need a little help. This will make it a little less painful. We're going to put this, and we're going to whop, and we're going to put a hole through his ear. And that hole, just to make sure that it's easy to see, we're going to put a piece of metal in there. We call it an earring today, or a stud, or whatever. An ear says, I would still call those just the little, not the big loop things that you catch on everything. Piece of metal in there that's going to identify you for the rest of your life that you belong to me. I might even put my initial on it. I could make you a good fishing lure, earring out of that. By the way, the first fishing lures were made by jewelers who came up with the idea. And you're going to use some fishing lures this week. So Miles is my lifelong servant. It's too bad I didn't punch him in the ear and put a hole in his ear. So I got to thank you, Miles. You're a good volunteer. You're a lifelong servant. And that's what the text is sharing with us here. I've enjoyed serving with my master. And now I'm going to give my life. I've given him 6 years. Now I'm going to give him my life. Well, what's the application here? I want you to see some things in the text that we can make an application here. I want you to get the picture. And, of course, we ought to be servants of Jesus Christ. I don't plan on lining all the guys up to put an earring in their ears to show that they're a servant of Jesus Christ. And, by the way, when man wears an earring today, he's showing that he's a servant to someone. It always has pictured that. And that's why you see the pirates, the old pictures, they've got earrings because most of them were pretty. And those earrings, they're made in such a way that you don't take them out to go to sleep at night. You don't take them out to bathe. Well, some of those guys never bathed anyways. It's something that was a permanent thing. It had no way to remove it. I was going to bring my rivet gun and put a rivet in Miles' ear after I poked a hole in, but I figured I wouldn't get past the hole part. But that rivet would be hard. The only way you're going to get that thing out is with a drill, and that would be harder than just leaving it. It was something that was a permanent mark. Now, you get the picture here. Christ has purchased us with a price. When we were saved, we were purchased with a price. We've been born again. We trusted Christ as our Savior. We've chosen Him. Now we live in His household. We're a part of His family. And we're praising God. Everything's good. We're enjoying going to church. Everything's new. Everything's fresh. We enjoy when we go to church. We enjoy getting up and reading our Bible in the morning. We come to church. We've always got a Bible. In fact, everywhere we go, we've got a Bible with us because we just love this book and we can't get enough of it. No one has to twist our arm to get, because we love the Lord and we love serving. And the more we serve, the better He is. Everything's great. There's joy in serving Jesus. We remember in verse number 15. And talks about you remember that you were bondmen in the land of Egypt. Now, by the way, he's speaking to a different generation that weren't a part of that slavery. But they were once bound by the world. Egypt is a type of the world. You've been released from that bondage and now to serve God. By the way, you always are a servant of somebody, whether it's the flesh or the Lord. Or it's the flesh and the devil, or Jesus and the Word of God. Your life belongs to somebody. But we were servants of the devil, and now we get to serve the Lord for 6 years. It's interesting. I've heard said since I was first saved that on average, a Christian young person gets saved. Or an adult, for that matter. They get saved. They're happy to be saved. They're born again. They start tithing. They start reading their Bible. They start sharing the gospel with others. And they serve the Lord faithfully for a few years. I've heard everything from 3 years to 10 years. It's about the average lifespan of the average church member. I have a feeling if we were to study all through history, we would probably find it's about 6 years. And I've watched people come and go in Christianity. Well, bless God, I'm saved, I'm living for God, I'm raising my family right. But then something comes up, we get discouraged and decide, this isn't all it was cracked up to be. I'm out of here. And after 6 years, we decide we don't want to do this anymore. We're going to go our own. Now, keep in mind, during those 6 years, God's been good. And you'll never regret giving those. And God maybe gave you a wife. Maybe God did some great things in your life. Maybe you got a job during those 6 years or a career or an education. And you made some friends in those 6 years. And God's been good in those 6 years. But you said, well, that's as far as I want to go. I'm not sent away empty-handed. It's always good to be in church. You can never go wrong by reading your Bible. And I encourage young people to read your Bible, study your Bible, memorize Scripture. I've talked to folks that have been literally sitting in a jail cell, and they say, I remember those verses that I learned when I was a kid in Sunday school. I remember when I used to go to church. And that's still with them. Those 6 years that they were in God's will follow them, and they'll be a blessing the rest of their life, even when they choose not to do right. God says, okay, in those 6 years, I'm going to give you some good things. But still, you have a choice. And I've served God for my 6 years. And again, it might be a little more, might be a little less, or some, depending on the time of the year of Jubilee, or the time of the Sabbath year when we're released. But at the end, we'll just say 6 years. We'll say in verse number, and by the way, look at the statements that are made here. I like this. Verse number 16. If he say unto thee, if that servant says, now this is me as a servant saying unto the Lord, my master, if I say unto thee, I'm not going to go away. I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to stay living for God. I'm not going to turn and walk from the things that I've learned. I'm not going to go away from thee. Because he what? Loveth thee. Verse number 16. Because I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You're the very reason for my existence. There's nothing I desire more than a relationship with the Lord. I love him because he loved me. I love him because he, and I've never fallen out of, you know, some folks fall out of love with the Lord. Some folks fall out of love with their husband or their wife. Some folks fall out of love with their children or their parents. Some folks fall out of love with their, you get a new job, and I just love it. And after a while, it's been a while, and you just kind of lose interest in it. But this servant says, God's been so good. God's met my, he's a wonderful Savior to serve. And I love my Lord. And not only I love my Lord, but look what else it says. I love thee and thine house. I love the friends that I met at church. I love my family at church more than my own family. You know, I could go back to my own family, but I choose to stay in the house of God. I choose to follow the Lord and live for Him. And some of us had to make that decision, and many will eventually make that decision. Am I going to do what my family says I should do, or am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to, if God calls me to the mission field, you know, it'd be comfortable to stay home. And justify, say, you know, I can serve God just as well here at home. After all, we need missionaries here at home. I don't have to go to a foreign country. I don't have to move away. I'd like to stay here with my family. You know, serving the Lord says, I love my church family, or my church. Church family is kind of a double. Church is a family. I love my church more than my own family. I'm going to go the next step. I love my Lord. I love my family. And this is the place where God has blessed me. And it says, I love thee and thine house because he is well with thee. God's been so good. God's given me a husband, a wife, preferably a husband if you're a lady and a wife if you're a man. But of course. Oh, never mind. God's given me a family. God's given me all these things. And I've decided I want to live the rest of my life as a servant of His. You know, I've watched people come to a point in their life where they come to that tipping point. And you can see the wheels turning. Do I want to keep serving the God of my fathers? The God that I've come to know? Do I want to stay in church, or do I want to go out on my own? We come to that point and say, well, if I'm going to stay, there's going to be this pain. By the way, I suppose it was a little bit painful to get that awl punched through your ear. Huh? Now they give you this anesthetic and stuff and all these things, and they know some things about infection that we don't know, and sometimes you hear people getting something pierced and they get this terrible infection and everything, and it's a painful thing. I'm going to endure the pain. I'm going to endure the hardship. It's worth it for Christ. I'm going to go through the initiation. Folks are going to laugh at me. Folks are going to, they'll probably make fun of that thing that I'm going to have wearing it when it all heals up, and folks are going to make fun. It's going to be a painful initiation that I'm going to have to endure. I'm going to have to make some sacrifices. I'm going to realize that this is a life and this is a mark of identification I'm going to wear the rest of my life. There's no turning back. There's no quitting. There's no coming back. I'm going to stay faithful to Him. Once we get past that point, and my son, we just talked to him today, all my good children called me today for Father's Day. One called yesterday because he's almost a day ahead of time, so I guess that counts. So, Aaron, a lot of you know this, that Aaron just ran this race yesterday, and now he's got to drive through the night from Wyoming. Where is it? From Wyoming, he's got to get back in time for work tomorrow morning in San Antonio, which is driving all through the night. I said, "Are you a little bit sore?" A little bit. And we're going to talk to him for a little bit about this 100-mile race that he did. I said, "Did you meet your goal?" And he said, "No, I didn't meet the goal. I was about 3 hours. It took me about 3 hours longer than I had planned on, mostly because of the weather, and about 40 miles of it was nothing but mud that you had to waddle through. And it slowed you down a little bit. And my wife asked the question, was there ever a time during the race that you thought, this is crazy. What am I doing? I need to quit. I'm out of here. But after you make it to a certain point, and I've noticed it's in life and in any event, you've gone so far and you realize there's no turning back now. We might as well just keep going. If we go back, you know, you're traveling from point A to point B, you get halfway there and you realize if I turn back now, it's longer to go back than it is to go forward. And besides, I didn't progress any if I go backwards. So I might as well just keep going on. And that's where I've watched some people come to that place in their Christian life, and sometimes they make a really stupid decision and they decide to go back. And they decide, well, it's not worth serving. But it takes some pain to go through. And the Bible says in the New Testament that we ought to endure hardships as a good soldier. Some of us like to read stories of soldiers and people that have gone through extreme difficulty in their life, because it helps us, first of all, to realize that we don't have it as bad as we think we do. There's always a whole lot of people out there that have got a lot worse situation than any of us could ever dream of. You see the hardships, and then especially if it's a Christian person, you can see how God's grace is always sufficient. And there's nothing that we can't face. And just the sheer determination of a man's will without the Lord even. And certainly if we have the will of the Spirit of God in us, we have that extra unction that the world knows nothing of. And we decide we're going to live for God no matter what. We've made a lifelong commitment. And I'm a lifelong bondman to Jesus Christ. My life belongs to Him. Let's line up. Give me that all. Give me that hammer. Somebody come and smack this hammer for me. I was waiting to jump up first, Garrett. That's about what I figured. I'll make that commitment. Can I sharpen it at least first? It's a little bit dull. Can I at least clean it off a little bit? Looks like it's still got some mud on it from what I used it for the other day. Let's make that commitment and let's determine we're going to serve God and live for Him. Then shall He take an awl and thrust it through his ear into the door. And by the way, it's a whole lot easier to stand next to it. It helps if you have big ears too. You put that ear against the door and smack it then. You smack it in midair, it's going to be a lot more painful. Put it through the door. and also thy maidservant. That's the woman, the Hebrew woman, is a servant. The same thing. And it'll be a sign. It'll be an identification. And that'll tell the whole world. And that'll be a constant reminder to me that I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I've gone through that initiation. I've gone that step, and I'm not going to turn back. And I made that choice. I made the willful choice because God's been good. You know, I think one of the greatest sins in our lives today is taking things for granted. A lack of appreciation. God's been so good to us. How dare I turn back from Him? Many have sacrificed so much for us that we don't even think about it. We don't even value their sacrifice. You know, I walk through this building and I can't help but to think, I wonder how many people that I'll never know their names, have sacrificed that we can have a building like this. I wonder how many people, the number would be in the millions, that have given their life that we can hold this book in our hand. And we just take it for granted. You bring your Bible? Yeah, whatever. Where's your Bible? I don't know. You go to camp for a couple of days with the kids, they're losing your Bible. Did you bring your Bible? No, I forgot it somewhere. Where is it? I don't know. They just treat it like it's nothing. More to be desired are they than gold. Yeah, than much fine. If you had $1 million, I think you'd take care of it, wouldn't you? And this is greater than $1 million. There's no book like this book. And I have fallen in love with Him. And I've made a commitment that I'm going to stay with Him all the days of my life. I'll gladly wear His mark of identification. I'll gladly be identified as His servant. I'll gladly suffer the reproach. I'll gladly line up and stand against the door and let Him put an awl through my ear to mark me as His servant. I'll be faithful to Him. I'll make that commitment. You get the picture of a servant. I'd encourage you to make that commitment to be a lifelong servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's great to be saved. It's great to walk with Him. But most Christians, sad to say, never get beyond that point. Well, I'll serve Him, I'll live for Him, and I'll even go to church, I'll tithe, I'll do these things for a few years, but then, you know, maybe I can be a good Christian and not go to church. Maybe I can still be a good Christian and not read my Bible. God will still bless. God's been good to you in those years, and you can go away with what you've gained, but still, chances are you're going to end up going the wrong direction. It'd be better off to make that commitment that I'll serve Him. And what a great picture this is. I'll give Him my life. It's not my life to begin with. It's His life to begin with. I'll just give back to Him what rightfully belongs to Him. That's stewardship. And when I was talking about stewardship, well, I'll give Him 10% of my life. Well, I'll give Him 10% of my life, but I don't have a life without Him. I'm going to give Him all my life. It all belongs to Him. It's all His. Is not what we give to Him, but is what He allows us to keep. And the gratefulness that we have in serving Him. And I'll make that lifelong commitment to be a bondman. I'll gladly identify with Him. I'll let Him put His mark upon me. And by the way, His mark will be painful. You'll know when He puts that mark on you. When you make that surrender. And it's not just coming down and saying a little prayer. But it's making a sacrifice. And you'll know when that sacrifice comes. Everyone that ever serves God comes to a point in their life where they've got to stand all alone. They don't have mom and dad to lean on. They don't have somebody, the preacher or anybody to lean on. They've got to stand all alone. And that's when you make that decision that I'll give Him my life. It's not my life. It's His life. It belongs to Him. And I'll gladly bear His mark, His reproach, and serve Him with all my life. I'm going to ask you.